You're listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse at bellydancegeek.com. So welcome, everybody. My name is Nadira Jamal, and welcome to episode number 37 of the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. The Clubhouse is a place where dancers can get together and geek out on all of those things that are hard to get in classes and on DVDs. If you want to get help with the what, so things like moves and combos and choreographies, there are a lot of resources available. But if you want help with the why and the how, so things like culture, musicality, improvisation, composition, business, professionalism, well, that's a little bit harder to get. So every month I interview a different guest expert on a different geeky topic, and we always have time for question and answer so you can geek out too. So if you think that knowledge and creativity go together like chocolate and peanut butter, you are in the right place. My guest tonight is Shadia Tomi. As an Oriental soloist, Shadia, Christine Mearson Tomi, and her late husband Ibrahim Malouf performed on the North and South American Arabic entertainment circuit for 8 years. She trained, choreographed, and was a member of several folkloric troupes, and her Mirza Dance Ensemble presented dances of Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, and Armenia for 30 years. She studied millinery, tailoring, and costuming for theater and dance, and was a designer and head of the costume department for Boston's Urban Nutcracker for 6 years. Her talent for creating glamorous and flattering designs for belly dancers has earned her a devoted international client base, including me. And using the skills and experiences that she gained as a professional dancer, Shadia knows what it takes to make a dancer look fabulous. You can check out her work at shadiacostumedesign.com. And today, Shadia is going to talk about how to choose flattering costuming for any body type. And I want to add a little personal note here. One of the things that I love about working with Shadia is that as a dancer of size, I've always felt respected completely. And I know that for a lot of people, especially larger people, the term flattering is sometimes used in a very negative light, in the sense of like hide your unsightly bulges and minimize this and, you know, hide that so that nobody sees how horrible you are. But we're using flattering in a much more affirming body positive sense here. So one of the things that I think Shadi is great at is helping you show off what you love about your body with pride. So anytime we say flattering here, we're really talking about helping you shine, not hiding your light. So welcome, Shadia.
Hi, Nadira.
I am so happy that you are with us.
Yes, finally.
All right.
Very glad to be here tonight.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started in Oriental dance?
Well, I kind of grew up in the Turkish-American Arabic community in the greater Boston area and attended tons of haflas and outdoor festivals called maharajans. And my sister and I would dance up a storm. Doing line dances and, you know, just what we would call women's solo, shifted telly style. And, I did that for many years and got to see some really, really good dancers. A lot of them were Lebanese from this area. There is still a large Lebanese Syrian community here. And then a lot of imported dancers from New York. And I kind of had a background in what the dance was all about. And then I started taking some classes with Laurie Cabot. Her name was Fayrouz. She is now known as the Witch of Salem. And that was the first belly dance class I took. And, of course, got hooked like us all. And decided to kind of set out to dance to a lot of the music that I was listening to. That was my goal, was to dance to the music I was listening to on these great albums. And, so from there I met my husband, and then it became a career. I started touring and involved in troupes. And, of course, I was always involved in sewing, so I did all my own costuming, and it was great. And here I am, 40 years later, still dancing and costuming and doing what I love and enjoy.
Great. So why don't you tell us about your background and then costuming as well?
Well, as far back as I can remember, I was, collecting scraps from a woman who I believe to be Priscilla of the famous bridal gowns, who had a shop in the West End of Boston, which is near the Mass General Hospital. And I would go to her shop daily and ask her for all these scraps. And I'd start sewing them and putting them together. And then when I was 10 years old, my mother got me a treadle sewing machine. That's how far back I go. And I would keep everybody up late at night, just sewing on that treadle machine. I'd sew whatever, curtains for the house. And then I had a great sewing teacher in high school that really taught me a lot. She was really cracked the whip, but I really learned quite a bit from her and decided I wanted to do costuming for theater. So I went to the New England School of Design, and that was very useful because you have to learn how to make a tailored suit. And that, gives you just a really good sense of engineering fabrics on a body. And I also took French draping, which, is a type of creating that you do on a dress form with just fabrics, pinning and draping and just creating right on the dress form. And I also took some courses in millinery, making some crazy hats, which was very useful when I did tiaras and headpieces for a ballet company that I was involved in for 6 years. And then after that, I got involved in dance. I was doing international folk dancing. I was always dancing. And then when I started doing some ballet dancing, I, of course, made my own costuming. And the type of work, especially when we were on the circuit, involved dancing in the same place for maybe sometimes months, with 3 or 4 nights a week. So that required a lot of costuming, and that was a great benefit for me because I learned to whip up just whatever, just so I would have a new costume, because it's vital when you're always seen on the same venue to be dressed differently. So I learned to make all kinds of really different costuming really quickly. And I've been doing it ever since now, and love costuming dancers and making them look good. And here I am, still costuming. Right. Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, before we move on to our questions, I do know that we are going to be looking at some diagrams occasionally. So let me just let everybody who's listening in know that you don't necessarily need to see the pictures for this call, but they are definitely helpful. So if you want to watch the webcast, you can see the slides on your screen, and you can do that at uberconference.com. That's uberconference.com/Nadira Jamal, N-A-D-I-R-A-J-A-M-A-L. Or you can download them as a PDF and look at them separately at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/ShadiaClubhouse. That's S-H-A-D-I-A, and then the word clubhouse, all as one word. Or if you are signed up for the Clubhouse mailing list, you should have gotten an email maybe about 10 minutes before the call with those as an attachment. So feel free to go ahead and open those up, and you can follow along with us. All right. So let's jump into our questions. So, what are some of the most common mistakes that you see dancers making, or some of the misconceptions that lead them to choose costuming that doesn't work as well as it could?
Okay, so, the first comment I have about that is to be original. You will be noticed if you stand out and you have a very original look. And secondly, misconception is that you have to wear a two-piece costume to belly dance. And nothing could be further from the truth, because in the history of the dance, more women have danced in a kaftan, a robe, you know, a dress, than not. So, and the dance looks just as beautiful in a dress. So that's something to think about, you know, look at your body type, and what you feel comfortable in is most important. So I get a lot of women in my classes that they would like to dance in public or for their families, but they're kind of, you know, not really wanting to wear a two-piece. So I'll suggest a beautiful costume, and, you know, there are such beautiful belly dresses, or even, you know, I revamp a lot of gowns, a lot of prom gowns or wedding gowns, you know, bridal, the bridesmaids' gowns, and revamp them into a dress that they could wear for the dance. So that's something to think about. So some of the other common kind of ruts or mistakes that dancers get into once they start establishing a wardrobe is kind of keeping things in the same color choices, because they think, well, this is my color, I look great in it, and kind of just change the style, the silhouette of the costume, and kind of keep the color in there, maybe add another accent color. So it's really important to have a really varied colored wardrobe. Audiences remember your color first and foremost. I'll always hear, "Oh, I love that red costume you made her," or the, you know, the blue one or whatever. So keeping a lot of variation in your color is important.
And how many colors would you recommend that, say, a working dancer have in her, or a frequent Hofla flyer have in her costume?
So if we're going into colors, you really have to, you know, think a little bit differently than what you would wear on the for street clothing. And you can get away with a lot more color choices on the stage, because you have the benefits of lighting and makeup to help you along. And let's say, for example, there's a color you would never wear. Sometimes if you pair it up with a secondary color, like if your primary colors are yellow, red, and blue, and let's say you don't look good in a yellow, if you pair it up with a secondary color, like an orange or a green, it works. So if you're going color shopping for fabrics or costuming, try different things with a color that you would normally stay away from, and it can work. I was never a purple person, but when I paired it with a turquoise, it looked fabulous, and because I love the color purple. Purple is a great color on stage. So try different color pieces on you. And don't be afraid to experiment with colors.
Mm-hmm. And then if we think about, say, how many colors we need in our wardrobe to keep our look fresh, how many would you recommend for a dancer who's out there semi-regularly?
Well, it's good to have just about every color. You know, your warm colors, your cool colors. They're also seasonal. A red costume is great for Valentine's Day or Christmas or whatever. If you want to be a red hot fiery dancer one night, you know, there you go. You've got your red costume to set the mood, or a theme if you're in a production where you need to have a certain theme or look to your costume. So it's good to have just about every color in the color wheel if you can afford it. Or sometimes just, you know, pairing it with another color, an opposite or a secondary color, will do the trick too.
Mm-hmm.
So go for it. As many colors as you can get in there. The neutral colors like black and white are tricky. And they usually work best when they're paired with a very brighter color next to it. For example, like a silver always works great with black or gold. Black and gold are great. The whites, again, depending on your skin tone, your hair color, you want to be careful about whites and also black. So you really have to, you know what your colors are. So those two neutral colors are kind of tricky to work with. Oftentimes, if you put them together, black and white, I'm not like a white person, and I don't look good in black either alone or as the dominant color. But when I put them together, they look fabulous. I have darker hair, so, and a little, you know, kind of olivey skin, so it just looks great, the combination of black and white.
All right, and are there other common mistakes or misconceptions that you'd like people to avoid?
Yeah, so, I have a list here that we kind of went over. So it's having the same costume, the same silhouette, the same style in different colors. Not usually a good idea. So unless you do something a little bit different to it. By a silhouette, I mean like having, let's say, those Turkish-style bras that have the deep V front with the long fringe. If you have a collection of those in different colors, they do kind of look the same. So you want to kind of have very different silhouettes and very different colors. And then also a really important consideration is your bra. That can make or break your costume. So you want to have a bra that is really well-fitting. And if we can go to one of the diagrams, I have that, the charts.
Yep. Did you want the torso picture or the skirt picture?
The torso. Yeah, great. The torso with the bras on them.
All right, go for it.
So if you just kind of squint at them, you can kind of see the top row has what I call a shelf look. These strapless type of bras are good if you're small-chested. If you're larger-chested, even though you may feel very comfortable and secure in them, they tend to make you look bigger because they're pushing you up, and now you have the big bra and then the breasts above it, which makes you look even bigger. You want something, if you're big-chested, to minimalize you. So your bra shape is really important. If you go to the bottom row, there's one there that has a deep plunge and a halter neckline.
I can't see the slides. Can you move the slides down? No?
Okay, let me try that again. Okay, how about now?
Is it coming up? So the plungy bras are really good for bigger chested women that because it pushes you into the center, so it kind of narrows you and pushes, doesn't make you as wide, and then it kind of covers your breasts, and that's what you want. It's a great minimalizer. So that's a good bra. Another consideration when you're choosing a bra is to, if you're going to make your own costume, get a bra size, one cup size up from what you would normally wear. So if you're a 34B, you would go to a 34C. That's because when you add all the stitches and the stones and all the work that you're going to be putting on, it kind of shrinks the cup a little. And then you have to kind of look at yourself in the look at your body type. If you're a smaller chested, you want to go maybe up two sizes to balance off with your hips. If you're kind of like pear shaped, you want to go up two sizes. You can always pad it, and you can make it work. You can pad it and then pinch it in the center, pull it together in the center. So having the right fitting bra is really important. Some of the bras that I've used are the what they call the Victoria's Secret Very Sexy Collection. And there are several types. There's like a multi bra. There's a very sexy push-up. I've had the most success with these to minimalize and to, you know, make you more voluptuous. And some other, you know, great bras I've got at TJ Maxx or Marshall's for under $10 are Donna Karan, Marilyn Monroe bras, Maiden Forms. Try them on. You know, that's the best way to tell also. And like I said, if you're large chested, stay away from the strapless bras. And then also at Target, there's a Gilligan and O'Malley bra that I use quite a bit. It's a very nice push-up bra and reasonably priced. And I know you, Nadiri, like to use the Soma bras. Is that the one you like to use?
Say that name
Soma, S-O-M-A?
No, I'm blanking on the name of mine. Actually, I have it on the other side of the room, so let me go take a look.
Oh, okay.
Let me see. It is Freya, F-R-E-Y-A. Those are pretty spendy, but they come in very, very large sizes, and they have nice firm support and nice shapes and plunges.
Okay, great. Yeah, I know. I've worked on them. They're great bras. There's a website called herroom.com, and they have a really great selection in just about any size for bras, and they're reasonably priced. They're clearanced every now and then. And oh, by the way, I only get Victoria's Secret when they have that big annual clearance sale, or they have clearance online too, because their bras are pricey.
You've mentioned that fit is important. How can we tell if a bra fits appropriately for costume wear?
Okay, well, it should cover you. You know, you don't want to look like you're going to have a malfunction. You're going to pour out of it, and you don't want it to sit under your armpits, and neither do you want your breasts to kind of spill out on the sides under your arms. It should fit really well. Usually the plunge is the most successful silhouette style of bra to wear. And then
your suggestion for not letting it go under your armpits. One thing that I used to do, since I have a larger bust, is I used to buy whatever cups would fit volume-wise, but sometimes I'd find myself going up several band sizes, and even though we were cutting the cups out, they were just wider than my own size was, and so the wires themselves would be, you know, kind of sliding under my armpits instead of staying on the front of my ribcage.
Oh, and that's what you chose?
Yeah, because I wasn't thinking that far ahead. I was just holding it up in front of the mirror and saying, "Oh, the volume works.
Right.
Covers what I need to cover. It's great."
Well, right. So you're exactly right. You don't want to worry about the back of the bra or the straps. What you want to be concerned is with the cups, that they're not going under your armpit. And you can do a whole lot with the straps. You can move the straps over. You can do a halter and shoulder if you're, you know, heavy chested, having both a halter strap and a shoulder strap will give you a lot of great support. So it's really the front of the bra that you're concerned about, not the back straps, because those are usually going to come off or covered or whatever. And another feature in a bra, if you're making your own costume, is to get a bra that has a supportive piece, right where the bra connects in the center of your chest, right, you know, under your breasts. It should be a straight line, a straight piece, much like the Dina bras. Are you familiar with the Dina bras? There's like a very heavy, thick piece of it. Sometimes it feels like metal. It's so thick. You can't penetrate it with a needle. And it just goes right across. It even looks, it's like built straight. That is the most supportive, that feature, because that straight line is what pushes you up. So some bras are built like a figure eight. You know how a figure eight crosses? If you can imagine this. And then there's no support underneath. So when you lift pull the wires, you know, the cups, they just kind of fold upward. They don't really give you any support. So that's one thing you want to make sure when you choose a bra, that there's that straight piece. And sometimes I sew that into a bra, or I'll reinforce it. And so you want to keep that in mind, have that piece in there. Using a piece of grosgrain, a double piece of grosgrain, and just sew it in there.
Mm-hmm. All right. And is there anything else that you'd like to bring up in the mistakes and misconceptions section?
Okay, so then we have your skirt. So if we go to the diagrams with the skirt shapes.
Okay,
if you kind of squint at it, it kind of is self-explanatory that having this large, full circular skirt adds volume. And the straighter lines sleek you out. So you really, you know, if you're very hippie, you want to, not that you can't wear a circular skirt, but it does add volume. Don't have too much fabric in your circular skirts. Go for, at most, if you're large hipped, two half circles or one full circle. And then try to stay away from an underskirt, the same circular underskirt. So you have two layers. If you're going to go with a circular skirt, get a fabric that you can't see through and just do the one layer. And then right beside, to the right of the full circular skirt, there's what I call a skinny circular skirt. And that's the best shape ever. If you ever watch Dancing with the Stars, which I like to watch for costuming, a lot of the dancers wear this type of skirt. It's a form-fitting skirt around the hip, and then it flares out. So you have the benefit of a nice form-fitting, sleeking. Usually it's a spandex or a knit fabric that works best for this. And then that nice flare for movement. So there's the skinny circular skirt for large hip women, or even, you know, if you're narrow in the hip, you can wear those too. The straight line or the sarong style is very slimming. If you go down below to the left, there's a ruffled circular skirt. Ruffles add volume, so you have to be careful about ruffles. If you're, you know, very slim in the hips and thin-legged, those are great. You want that to give you volume. The gourd skirt is very similar in shape and silhouette to the skinny circular skirt. And those are very great because you can put contrasting colors in the gores. The gores are those pie-shaped wedges. You can put a sheer fabric in there. You could put a net fabric so you can see your legs. That's a very slimming style, but, you know, anybody can wear that, actually. But it's really recommended if you're larger hipped and you know, larger thighs. And then right beside that is what I call a fitted panel skirt. It's just, you know, sections, panels that can flare out as much as you want. So they're form-fitting at the hip line, and then the flare can be as much as you want, much like a skinny circular skirt in shape. You can fill it in with strips of sequins, and you can have the panel open or closed from, say, above the knee down, so you have a lot of leg. If you know, if you want to show a lot of leg, you can leave those panels open just above the knee, and you can edge it. You know, if you leave it open, you can edge it in sequins. It's a very, very ornate kind of cut for a skirt if you want to do a lot of ornamental stuff on it. So also a skirt that's too short is not really, it kind of cuts you off and makes you short, look shorter. So if you're short to begin with, try to have your skirt come to the floor and not have your you know, feet peek out. And you have to learn to work it, you know. It's like any new costume. You have to wear it several times to get used to it. So if your skirt is, but then again, if your skirt is too long, then you're going to have problems, especially if you wear heels, because heels will, you know, will go right into the skirt. So if you are wearing heels with your skirt, try to keep it just above the heel, like a half an inch from the floor or the heel. So your heel is peeking out a half an inch. And
one thing that is too short is they all seem, to my eye, to look less dressy. If I can see the whole foot and the ankle bone, it looks a little bit more like day wear rather than evening wear to me.
Right, and it's also distracting. If, you know, you have this nice skirt line and then all of a sudden you have a big flashy gold foot sticking out. So it's very distracting. The attention will go to the foot, the shoe in particular. So, yeah, you want to keep it just the right length. And sometimes just, you know, pulling your skirt down. Don't be afraid to pull the skirt down and pin it a little lower. Sometimes just pulling it down an inch or half an inch will do the trick. And, so, you know, we already talked about a two-piece. The two-piece, you know, doesn't have to be just only a two-piece. And you should have dresses in your wardrobe if you're doing educational kind of presentations. It's good to wear a dress because of your audience. So know your audience and dress appropriately. So some recommendations. Do you want to go over those for specific body types?
Please do.
All right. So first on the list is a tall person. So if you're going to go into a two-piece bedline, and if you're on the tall side, you're kind of lucky because you can wear all these great adornments on your arms. You can wear a full circular skirt. You can wear a dress that has gores in it with a lot of flair. You could wear ruffles. You can wear ruffles streaming from your arms, your upper arms. So you're kind of, you can wear capes, although, you know, you can wear them if you're short, too. Capes are great on, you know, tall dancers because they kind of give you that stately look. All right, so we'll go to the short dancers. Like me, I'm kind of on the short side, so I guess I'm a short specialist. So when I first started dancing, I wore, I started dancing Turkish style, so I wore heels a lot. And they were like the ballroom heels or like a salsa with a strap type of shoe. And I wore a lot of the skinny circular skirts. And stayed away from ruffles, stayed away from kind of dangly arm things that would add bulk to my arms. I did wear gauntlets and kind of stretchy, netty kind of things on my arm. And then again, if you're, well, if you're short, you don't want to have heavy, overbearing fringe on your hip or your bra. That's one thing to keep in mind. If you're tall, you can get away with that. You can wear just about any kind of heavily sequined or bobbly top because it doesn't add volume. But on a short torso, it does. So now, if you're a plus size, I would think about having, if you're going to go for a two-piece, about wearing a power net underneath. What it does is it sleeks you out. And, you know, if you feel good in a costume, you have more confidence and, you know, that whole thing. If you have more confidence, you'll feel great dancing. So why not make yourself look as good and confident as you can? So if you're a plus size, go for a lot of spandex in your costuming, in the skirt. It'll pull you in, or a dress. And the nice thing about a dress is you can do these very interesting cutouts. So let's say you're a plus size and you're kind of a boxy torsoed. You can cut like an hourglass shape so that there are cutouts on each side. And it gives the illusion of a, you know, a cinched waist. And then you could fill it in with net. There's another trick you can do. You can take a piece of power net and connect your bra with your belt. You can do it in the front, and you can do it in the back, and you can adorn it to match your costuming. And that, you know, that again, if you cut the power net shape so it looks like an hourglass, that's the illusion you give, that you have a more defined waist.
So just to clarify, it sounds like you're not saying like the bottom half of a bathing suit. You're talking about a panel just in the front and just in the back between the bra and the belt?
Yes, just a panel. And, you know, that's also a plus if you have a little pudgy belly. That'll pull your belly in. That's why they call it power net, because it has the power to pull you in. And it's great stuff. I use it all the time. And so you could either make that panel in the front and back, or just in the front. And or you could do a whole, what I call a midriff power net. So it's like a half a leotard without the sleeve. And you secure it into your bra. You can either baste it in, or I used to just safety pin them in. And the darker colors are really great because they, you know, there's more shadows cast, and it gives you really nice definition in the waist area. And or you could do a whole leotard type thing from that power net. You could cover your arms, and kind of have the bra part cut out in the power net, so your bra, you know, is sitting over the power net. And there's all kinds of different things you can do on the power net. You can cut out sections of it in interesting shapes. You can cut out like a part on the shoulders, so part of your skin is showing. So they're very, very versatile for costuming.
One thing that you've done for me on a colored power net was to place jewels in a pattern along the belly. And what I really love about that one, besides the fact that it's beautiful, is that having the decorations on the belly shows belly work. And I feel like that's one of the things that sometimes gets a little bit lost when you're wearing a power net. But just having those little gems actually shows it better than a bare belly.
Great, yeah, and I remember that blue one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh,
that was a really nice. Yeah, and that kind of, you know, made your costume look like a dress too. If you
exactly.
want it to look like a dress, sometime you have that option.
So to give background there, I had just an ordinary commercial bra and skirt set, and I needed a dress look, and so Shadia built a colored power net that she attached to the bra so that it was sort of like a leotard. And then she decorated it with gems. And so when I was, it was still a bra and a skirt, but when I wore them together, it looked like a dress look, and it was just beautiful.
Oh, great. Yeah, and the way I make them is I make a seam in the back so that you don't have the seams on the side. So it's a very smooth line and very easy to adorn. You can sew those, you know, the stones with the holes in them, you can sew them on or you can glue them on. Flat back crystals are very doable with this E6000 glue, so you can wash it and it won't come off. So they're great. You can also, like I said, do cutouts right on the power net and edge the cutouts in some nice beads, you know, like or edge it in whatever, flat back crystals or whatever. So, yeah, very versatile. So that was a plus size we kind of focused on. And then if you're top heavy, again, if you're kind of top heavy, if you go to the torso diagram again, and on the far right-hand bottom corner, there's a type of a bra that is, it looks like two points going up to the neck from the bra. That's a very, if you're top heavy, that's a very supportive type of cut or silhouette, and it kind of minimalizes you, so you don't have a lot of breasts if you're top heavy hanging out. So that's one thing you could do. If you wanted to use a regular bra, you could put two or three straps on your bra, so your you know, parts of your bra, your breasts are covered with two or three straps. You can also do a halter strap and a shoulder strap, which is very supportive and kind of slimming in its look. And then you can also wear a shrug out of the power net. Shrugs are great because if you have, you know, full, you know, hanging arms like me, they're kind of, I guess you call them wings. Cover them up with a power net shrug, or you could do a leotard out of a power net. Or, you know, I've taken just a regular leotard, a dance leotard, and cut out the bodice area and worn that with my bra. That works great. You can, you know, shorten the sleeves however you want. You can do cutouts in that too. And then, you know, wearing a dress is if you're top heavy, you know, a dress is very slimming, especially the straight cut with no flare on the hem area. Or you could have a flare to balance you out. So that's for a top-heavy dancer. Bottom-heavy, you want to go to that skinny circular skirt that I had mentioned before, or a straight skirt, or a gored dress or skirt with a contrasting color in it, or not, or just keep it, you know, the same color, but maybe put in a net of the same color, and that way it'll kind of focus on your legs if, you know, if that's the look you want, with some legs showing. So if you're average body type, well, you're the luckiest of all. You can wear just about anything and just have to deal with colors.
And I think that we haven't covered very slim body types.
Oh, okay. So if you're, yes, I've had that to deal with. So you need a lot of volume in your belt and a lot of Turkish style belts are great for that, because there's a lot going on, a lot of sequins, a lot of bobbly things. So you could do that with your belt. Add those round payettes that are about, you know, nickel-sized, and put them, you know, on a row of beading all over the belt, and that gives you a lot of volume. And the same with your bra. You can add a lot of adornment to your bras and belts. You can also wear a lot of ruffles. If you have an existing circular skirt, add a ruffle at the slits, at the openings. If you have two slits, that's fine. Add the ruffle all over and on the hem. That'll give you a lot of volume. Yeah, and, you know, a lot of arm adornment is good if you're on the slim side and have very slim arms. You can wear gauntlets. You can wear an upper arm band. You can wear dangly things on your arms. You're lucky sometimes to have, you know, the slim arms, because they adorn well. But then again, if you're, you know, on the plus size or a little larger, you can use the adornments to cover up a lot of things that you want to cover up.
When it comes to covering it, you know, that's also a modesty issue separate from a body type issue. So if, you know, either you don't feel comfortable showing as much skin, or if you've been asked to cover up more for a particular show, all of that applies as well.
Exactly.
All right. You know, so we've been talking about recommendations for individual dancers, you know, but what about troupes? You know, it's hard enough to find something that works for one person, but, you know, what do you do when you have to deal with different body shapes, different sizes, different heights, all in the same group?
So would this be for a troupe that does, like, folkloric style with a lot of dresses, or for just a... So like a belly dance troupe that wears
a lot of
two-piece?
This is more of a general question. When we get to our critiques, we do have a troupe that does both oriental and folkloric-leaning oriental. But why don't we deal with maybe both cases right now, if you have different suggestions.
Well, you know, a good all-purpose look is to have a dress that has a cutout bodice and kind of a straight style, like what we would call a belly dress, a straight look that's a traditional style, and with slits on the side. And having the cutout bodice allows you to wear the bedla underneath. So you have the bra peeking out in the front, and you could have it under the dress or over the dress, and the belt would sit over the dress on the hips.
And when you say cutout bodice, do you mean that the dress comes all the way up to the bottom of the bra, or that it dips below the bra and shows a little bit of skin in the upper belly?
That could be, you know, your personal choice. Some dancers have it come well below the or to the belly button in either a V-pointed shape. Some dancers like it just under the breasts, under the bra. So you could do either. It kind of depends. The good thing about that dress is, and if you make the seams larger, you can accommodate a few different sizes. And if you make a larger hem, so if you had a person that had to hop into this costume, they could adjust the height and they could adjust the, you know, the seams inside. But usually that, if it's a stretchy fabric, a spandex is a great fabric for that. You could, you know, it would be versatile in size for several different sizes. So that's a good standard look for a costume, a two-piece bedla. And then you could wear the bedla with a skinny circular skirt. If you get a skinny circular skirt for the troupe, the good thing about those is that it can fit several sizes, again, because it stretches. And you can overlap it. You can, like, leave it open at the hip line. So that slit goes right up to the hip line, and you could overlap it a little and make it versatile again for several sizes. You know, also having what I've done for troops is, if you can imagine a square shape and either a circle for the head to go, you know, to put it over your head, or a slit. And if you edge the square in either a little, you know, short little fringe or sequins, you can put that over your bra and have a little bit of a covered up look, and it's just a very nice piece to put, especially if it's a very soft kind of sheer fabric, and drape that over your bra. If you need a covered look, let's say you're going to do a venue that wants a little more coverage, and they do, you know, there are venues like that. They don't want they don't want the total showgirl look. So if you have this square, and when you put it on, you put it on as a triangle. So the points are in the front, on the sides of the shoulders and arms, and then a point in the back. You twist it so it's hanging in points. And that's a very attractive look.
So it's almost like a little mini poncho that covers your shoulders,
like,
and
a mini
cleavage. Am I picturing it?
Right, exactly.
But
not
obviously
that
blingy to go with your costume.
Yes, and it could match your skirt or whatever. So, you know, just having that one bedla and, you know, adding that little poncho cape thing or the dress can, again, give you a lot of choices, you know, for a troupe. Because, you know, I've done troupes all my life, and it's really expensive to have, you know, constant change of wardrobe. So you want to do things like that to change up your costuming.
And since you have so much experience, you know, costuming troupes or, you know, theatrical shows, group numbers, do you have anything else that you suggest that people be aware of or consider doing when they're costuming a troupe?
I've gotten a lot of costumes online, very basic dresses, and then I would adorn them. And I would always get them in the largest size they have, and then take them in and fit them to each troop member. So that way you can, you know, have several sizes again. So always get the largest size you can, if, you know, you or get at least two sizes up. Let's say you have six members, get and two are on the larger side, get the largest size and then a medium size. And, you know, kind of unless the some troop members are very tiny, get small sizes, but kind of go into the large and extra large sizes because, you know, you need the extra seamage to allow for whatever troop size person you're going to have to costume.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
and
just get into photo critique soon. But before we do that, is there anything else that you want to make sure that folks know about or hear about?
Well, I have to put some notes here. I think, you know, again, the first thing I said was to be unique. Especially today with websites, you know, like that website is you. You're putting yourself out there. If you're dressed, costumed very differently, uniquely, it draws attention and people will be more interested in your presentation or on the stage. If, you know, when you first come out and you look very different in your costuming, you will be noticed. And it's just a good way to, you know, to do. And also in your dance, try to keep your dance really unique and different. And if you know, if you're in a lineup of dancers and you know there's a dancer maybe doing a cane or whatever, you know, try to do something very drastically different. Use two canes or whatever, you know. So just keeping yourself unique is a great thing to do for your dance life.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our photo critique section. So this is something that Shadia will be doing for us. We had several Clubhouse members submit photos in advance of themselves in costume, and they also told us what some of their biggest concerns are. So we're going to show the photo, and then Shadia will give some specific suggestions, and those can be about the concern or if there's anything else that you'd like to recommend for that dancer, anything that they could do to change this costume to make it work better for them, or anything that they could do when they're picking their next costume. That would be great. So let's go ahead and go on to our first picture. So this is Melissa. And Melissa is a tribal fusion teacher. In addition to general suggestions, she's also looking for suggestions on how to keep her skirts up. You'll notice that she wears it a little bit higher up on the belly, which is where she prefers it to sit. But she finds that even when she ties the drawstring tightly, it often slides down while she's dancing. So Shadia, can you see Melissa's picture?
Yes.
Great.
Okay.
So what would you recommend for her?
Okay, so if that is a drawstring that she ties, that's just not a good thing because that could come down really easy. It'll come apart, the knot or whatever, or unless she pins it. So having an elastic is recommended in the waistline or the hip line. Yeah, and then
so would you recommend drawing some elastic through where the string is now, or using a different technique?
Yeah, if that's like a casing or a tube, I would put an elastic in there. And you could make the elastic very long and tie it. But it's so much better than a drawstring, and it feels better too.
All right, and do you have any suggestions about making this costume more flattering or stage-worthy?
Well, something, I think sitting on the hips would help, where she's got the coins on the top. Even taking like a white piece of fabric and just adding a few coins to it and just tying it like a sash around the hips, I think would flatter her and kind of match the top part of that costume. Yeah, and maybe, I don't know if she didn't want to show any cleavage, but if she kind of cinched the center where that black shrugged leotard kind of thing is, just kind of pinched it downward a little to give her a little more cleavage. And it's not just for the cleavage, it's for that straight line that goes across the top of her breasts. I think it would be more flattering, just cinched a bit. You can do that with a safety pin.
And that's something that can be done without showing a lot of cleavage, too. If you cinch it a little bit, it gives you that little dip.
Right. Exactly.
I love the exposed shoulder on this, though. I think especially in that arm position, it creates a nice look.
Yeah, it is a great look on her. And, and I think just adding a belt. And she could, which I would pull the skirt down a little more, and then the belt could sit a little higher or wherever she wanted it.
Oh, that's a good idea. So that would also take care of the sliding issue because the belt would be providing the coverage rather than the skirt.
Right, exactly. And then it would pull. See how the skirt is a little bit short? And I love what she has on her feet. But, just having it a little longer and then the belt on it. She could do it in the white or another color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Melissa, I hope that was helpful. If you have any more questions about Shadia's feedback, when we get to the question and answer section, we can definitely come back to that. And Shadia, were you finished with your suggestions for Melissa?
Yeah. What other questions did she have?
That was primarily about keeping her skirt up.
Okay.
I think we dealt with that already. All right. So our second dancer is Aralia. So Aralia says that for her, one of the challenges is finding bras that will support a large chest with narrow ribs and shoulders. She says that to really hold her chest in, she often has to make her tops really, really tight, which create a crease along her spine. But if she doesn't do that, then she feels like her chest isn't being supportive and she's afraid of spilling out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so if you look at the center of the bra where she has that medallion, remember I was saying that there's a strip that should go, see where the end of that medallion is? If she had a strip of fabric that went, if she added it to that straight piece across built inside would give her more lift because her cups, most street bras have the cups with the underwires hanging on your ribs. I don't know if you've ever had bras like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what it looks like here. So if that piece were there and she lifted her straps a little, the underwires of the cups wouldn't be sitting on her ribs. Because you can tell it's very clearly drooping and sitting on her ribs. And that's what the bra looks like. It looks kind of droopy. So having the right bra would be really, really helpful. And having that straight piece across, that straight piece goes across the front, around, under your arms, and into your back. That should be one straight line into your back. And then having... again, I would also, there's a clever way to give you more support by taking shoulder straps, having the, regular, a fabric shoulder strap, not stretchy. Stretchy shoulder straps on a costume does not work because all you'll end up doing is bouncing your breasts up there. So, it's got to be a very firm, supportive piece of strap. And then you can pinch it in the back, either under your neck or wherever it feels comfortable, like a sports bra. So in the front, it looks like a halter. And then you pinch it together with just, there are these hooks and eyes that you can just hook it in the back. So it looks like almost like a crisscross look now in the back. And that's a very, very supportive bra. And it's flattering for her, especially because she's, you know, her shoulders are kind of nicely lined up with her hips. So it'll give her, it'll kind of balance her out, pull the halter in a little. So she won't look so, she won't have such a big chest area, upper bodice.
I second the recommendation for the pinched back. I find it way more comfortable than a halter, but it has a lot of the same advantages.
Exactly. And, yeah, that's something I didn't mention when I was telling you about bras and straps, is to do that, the sports bra kind of feel, so that these are actual shoulder straps pinched in the back. So, excuse me, it acts like a halter in the front, and then it's shoulder straps in the back, which also keeps your strap across your back up much better than a halter. And it's a very nice look in the back, too, and way more supportive and takes some of the pressure off your neck from a halter. That often happens if you're large chested.
Now, when you were talking about having, you know, a strip across the front, is that something that could be added into this costume after the fact, or would it be something to look for her next costume?
Yeah, I would. I would add that. And looking at this bra too, I think if she pulled it in the center, you know, pinched it, like, you know, on the inside of the bra and just put a few stitches. So by pulling it in, it'll minimalize her a little bit too. See how her
breast seems to be. We're talking about shrinking the width of the connecting piece in the middle?
Yes. The connecting piece, and then putting the new piece in there in the same, you know, matching color. She could cover it with the brooch.
All right. Well, those are some great engineering suggestions. Do you have any other feedback on this costume as a whole?
I think it's, you know, it's very flattering to her that the gourd skirt, the mermaid style skirt, looks great on her.
And if, you know, this ensemble, if she wanted to add anything for her arms, what kind of a look would you recommend for her and for this costume?
Well, you know, looking at the belt, if she added some minimal, you know, horizontal fringe, maybe even like very, you know, three or four rows in a tassel-y kind of look to the hip line, I think that would add some appeal. And then just maybe a little bit in the front. I think having some movement in a belt is interesting. You know, it brings out your movement that much more. For the arms, I mean, if she has any of that, I don't know if she made that skirt, if she has any more of that fabric and made a couple of upper arm things out of that fabric, that would be good. Or, you know, at these great jewelry accessory stores they have now, they have these arm things. They kind of, you know, they're like slinky toys. Remember the slinky toys? They just stretch out onto your arms, and they come in rhinestones. That's a great look for her, too.
Nadira, can you hear me?
Yes.
Nope. We've all lost the screen for a long time.
Let me come back.
Okay.
Let's try this. All right, how about now? sorry, can somebody let me know if you can see the slides?
Well, I have mine up.
I can see it now.
We can see it now. Great. It's been a long time.
All right, well, why don't we actually take a quick break and step back to Melissa's just so you can get a peek. So this is the one where we're talking about adding some white belt, maybe pinching the crop top in the center just a little bit to add a little bit of a curve there. And Aurelius, this is the one that we've been talking about more recently.
She has to lift the bra straps. I don't know if that's a halter. It looks like a halter. Just lift them a little more. And then if she had some kind of rhinestone accessories on her arms, I think that would just glam her up a bit, or on her neck.
I think that would coordinate with the bra and the belt beautifully, too. All right. Any more suggestions for Aurelia, or should we move on?
Yeah, or, you know, you can buy this rhinestone chain online on eBay or wherever, Amazon, on a roll by the yard. And that's the easiest thing to make a, a fringe on your belt or wherever. So if she got some of that, a couple of yards, and just let it dangle on the belt and a few places on the bra, and got some matching rhinestone bracelets or whatever. They have those nice stretchy kinds that you can, move right up to your upper arms that look great. Yeah,
all right.
I think that's great, Aurelia.
Okay. So our next photo is from the Phoenix Troop, from Candace Franklin. And so questions is that they need help finding bra shapes and designs that look good on all sizes. They say that they have sizes from a slimmer B cup all the way to a G cup. And even when they get what's technically the right size, their Egyptian suppliers often tend to be a little skimpy on the bra sizing. So they've got a lot of ways that they've added some extra coverage. And we can see that here. The ladies who are second from the left and second from the right have both added some extra B to kind of give some more coverage on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
They have two questions. So one is general styling and fit for very different bra sizes within the same troop. But also, they're curious about whether, when they're costuming a troop, should they go with the same design for everybody, or should they go with different costuming elements for each person, but with the same materials and beads?
Well, for the second question, I think that would depend on the choreography or what they were, their choreography, their dance, what they were doing. If there were a lot of solos involved in that choreography, each having a different look, a different color or design would make them each look a little more individual, especially for their solos. I think they did a great job fitting with, what they have. Sometimes adding a shrug or something else to this would kind of give them a more uniform bra look or a vest, because, I'm just looking at their sizes range so drastically. It's hard to get a cup that's going to work for everyone. So if they, they could all get the same bra shape, like a plunge, I think would work for everyone. And then if you had to put more padding in, that's fine. But I think they did a great job with what they have so far. And, even adding a gold vest, like the gold in their skirt, would be very interesting.
Mm. So you suggest going for a plunge style in the bra. Are there particular straps that are more likely to work for every shape and size, or that's likely to work for more than a few? For example, very uncomfortable in a halter.
Garbled? You asked me about their straps.
Yes. Is there a strap on that's more likely to work for a varied group?
Well, I would go with two straps. Go with a halter and a shoulder. You know, if you look at, and then you could, like, for example, if you had the shoulder strap, you could put the shoulder strap outside for the bigger chested girls. See the girl with the dark hair, the second in from the left. If you put a shoulder strap on the outside of her existing strap, that would give her more support. It would kind of make it look more uniform, even though they're all different cup sizes. Or even in the gold, like these, some of their straps are gold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I would throw on a little. A stretchy little gold vest on top of these to really, it'll just punch out everything, the skirt, the bra. And then if they needed a more covered look, they'd have that. And they could also, you know, that gold power, the power net comes in gold metallic. They could even do a little vest or a shrug out of that gold power net and let it sit on top of those bras.
Mm.
And even make a, if you look at their torsos, their tummies, they could take a piece of that gold power net and just make an hourglass shape and put it in front of their bellies. And they could have a different look, something different. And you could, you know, with that same piece of gold metallic power net, they could make arm things. They could just, like, make a strip a strip of, like, say, 4 inches. Make it about 20 inches long with a point on each end. And just tie it around their upper arms and have like a nice streamy kind of look.
That sounds pretty.
Because right now the focus goes, the eye goes right to the bras. So if they had something else to kind of deflect that focus that goes right to the bras, that would be helpful in kind of unifying their look.
All right. Do you have any more suggestions for Phoenix Troop before we move on?
I'm sorry. Some of your questions came up garbled. What were some of the other questions?
Okay. Do you have any more suggestions for this troop before we move on?
I think they have a nice, overall look. I think those suggestions might give them a little more, punch out their look a little.
Great. All right, so let's move on to Rivka.
You're coming in garbled again.
Rivka is what I call a threshold. Okay. All right, yes. I'm going to try hanging up and calling back and see if I can get a cleaner line. Just 1 second.
Okay.
All right. Is my audio any better now?
It's about the same, but I'm hearing you.
Okay. Why don't I try calling in from my cell then? This will take 1 second. Sorry for the interruption, everybody.
Okay.
All right. How's the audio quality now?
Better.
Okay. Usually my cell phone is not the best choice, but I guess it's good today. All right. So we have Rivka. So she has recently started doing paid performing and teaching. And so she's trying to build out her wardrobe. This costume was made to measure. And so she feels like it fits well. But she says that this Dina-style bra top doesn't necessarily work for her, as in her words, as a chunky girl with big boobs. Mm-hmm. So she says she wears a triple D or F cup. So what would you suggest for Rivka?
Okay. I think the cups need to be pulled right in the center a bit. Instead of having it looks like an inch or so in the center, almost bringing the cups together, and you can actually try that before you do it. So just pushing your cups together, I think won't make her look so spread out. And the cups seem a little big, although they cover her nicely, but they look like, if you look at the center of her bra is higher than the sides. See that?
Yes.
Yeah, so that needs to be corrected. If the sides were lifted, and you have that straight across, so the straight across piece should go where the center is of her bra, but as it goes out to the side where her cup is, it droops down toward her waist. See that?
Okay, so you're suggesting that she rotate the cups a little bit so that the outside would come inward a little bit?
I would pinch it in the center a bit, and then she might have to if I could see the side of the strap that's, going into the underarm. Sometimes there's a common thing that they do with Egyptian bras. They after the wire ends, the bra tends to go downward instead of straight across. Can you see what I'm saying? So it looks like it's going downward. So sometimes just making a dart, that means pulling it in toward the underwire from the back strap, like making a tuck, will lift the sides up and straighten it up.
Now, when you say the dart, do you mean taking a dart in the cup or taking a dart in the side piece?
The side piece. So, and okay. You would take it right where the underwire of the cup ends. And pulling a piece of the side strap into the bra under the underwire in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So so the dart is, part of the dart is on the bra strap, and then part of it has gone under the underwire inside the bra. She'd have to open the bra, the lining. And then she could also try taking the stitches out of the strap, the halter strap, and moving the strap over a little bit to the outside. So what that's going to do is push her cups inward a little.
Okay, you kind of help rotate the cup a little bit so that you get that flatter
to rotate the cup,
piece in the center.
Move the strap, right.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, in other words, it's got to be finely tuned, even though it was made to fit her. And it's a good fit. It just needs to be fine-tuned. And I think pinching it in the center will make a big difference.
Great. Do you have any more suggestions for Rivka?
Yeah, so there's another thing that I do, and it's a common problem in bras is if when your bra is on, if you can put your hand inside the cup and there's a hand space that's way too much. You have a big gap there. So there's a thing you can do. It's called an overcast stitch. If you can do it, fine. If not, give it to someone who knows how to do it. And what you do is at the top edge of the cup, you make a very heavy, thread or quadruple the thread. So you have four strands of thread and run it through some beeswax. So it's very strong. And then you start where the halter strap is, and you're going to be working down the cup toward the center. And what you do is you put it in about a quarter of an inch into the top of the cup and then go and overcast. That means you're taking your thread and going around the bra edge of the bra top and then back down into the fabric. And you do two stitches and you pull it. So you're reducing that cup measurement. Let's say that curved cup measurement is 6 inches. You're going to reduce it and ease out that gap and take out maybe an inch or half an inch by just doing that overcasting stitch. And I've done that on so many bras, and then they fit so well because you're reducing that and making it, fine-tuning it to fit their breast. And then,
for me, and the nice thing about it is that the volume of the cup is the same. It's just that the top edge kind of hugs closer into the body so that you're less likely to get a gap between the edge of the bra and your body.
Exactly. On her bra, it doesn't look like she needs it. Yeah, so if I could have seen the back of her bra, I could tell better if she lifted her arm. If she still wants to send me, another picture of kind of her backside on the bra, I'd be glad to help her out.
And what's the best way for her to contact you if she wants to do that?
Email me with a photo, shadiabead@gmail.com.
All right, great. So, Rivka, if you do want some more fine-tuned advice on that, you can send Shadia some more pictures of the side view and the front without your hand in the way. And Shadia will be happy to do that, which is awesome.
Right. And here's another suggestion on the belt. Now, it's hard to tell because of the way she's angled in this photo, her torso. But if she she took the top part of the belt skirt and just cinched it right in the center and made a little V dip, it would give her a little more depth in her torso, and it wouldn't give her that straight line across, which tends to widen the hip line. Just having that little V dip, she could either do it off to one side so it's kind of an asymmetrical look, or do it right in the center, just pinching it and taking a few stitches. So she's making a V dip there.
So almost gathering it up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but downward.
Downward, right.
Excellent.
Yeah,
all right.
Very lovely costume. I love the fringe hanging off her thigh and hip there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's move on to our last photo. So this is Laura. And Laura is an intermediate student who is working towards going pro. And what she says is that since she has a large chest, it's hard to find full coverage tops that don't make her chest look huge, but also feel secure without creating rolls around the straps.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on this bra, if she took the straps off and moved it on the outside. There's two ideas I have for this. Moving it toward the outside of the bra What that does is it'll, I think she looks kind of mushed in the front, in the center. So that would open it up a little. And then she could pull her breasts toward the center so that they're not, like, floating out on the sides. Or, so just moving the strap over an inch from where it is might help. And you can actually try that with your hand. Just put your hand where the strap should be and pull it in. And you can tell right away if that'll do the trick. She could also do a, I don't know, that looks like a halter, would you say? It's kind of hard to tell. It almost looks like a shoulder strap that's kind of pulled in.
I think it's either a halter or an X-back.
Yeah, so adding another strap beside the existing strap where the, see where that row of pearl is?
Mm-hmm.
With the space, if she started the strap right around there, that would lift her up more, push her into the center, and kind of take care of her sides that are kind of spilling out. Although, it's hard to tell because it looks like the bra is kind of uneven because the other side doesn't look like she's spilling out. See in the mirror look where she has the tattoo? It seems like on this side, on our right, she's spilling out on the cup, but not on the other side. So that might tell me that it's off balance. You know, it's not centered. But yeah, that would do that for that trick. And then again, I think if she got the right bra, the very sexy Victoria's Secret would take care of her problems. She'd love those bras. They're great for large-chested women.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody doesn't know, Victoria's Secret recently started carrying triple Ds.
Yes, they have triple Ds. Yeah. So here's the other thing. It's a shoddy as a little secret. If you take your regular cup size, say you're a B and a 34B, if you went to a 38B, that cup would be a lot bigger. So when you want to go up and get a larger cup size for yourself, don't just go up the cup size, go up the rib cage size too. So go to a like a 40 double D might fit you. It's the size 40 that's going to enlarge the cup also.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I found with that I've had to be careful with, so like online shopping doesn't work as well as in-person shopping, is that sometimes they're also wider. And so they're more likely to start creeping in under my armpits rather than staying in the front. So I always have to try on like four or five and see which combination is the right one.
Yeah. But also when you do go and try on bras, do that pinching thing in the front. Sometimes just pulling it in an inch or so will just do the trick. Or this strap thing, just, you know, put your hand where you would move the strap and lift it from your hand instead of the strap, and you will see what it does to your cleavage. When you do that, when you pull it towards your center, you're pulling it away from your armpits, and that's where your new strap is going to be. And sometimes that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
And bras vary so greatly from one manufacturer to the other. You really have to try them on.
Absolutely. All right. Do you have any more suggestions for Laura for this costume?
Let's see. Yeah, it's a nice, you know, it's not a bad fit. I think if she got a bunch of those big, chunky crystals. You can get them online. They're like over an inch big, and just, you know, put them on the belt and the bra, and a few, maybe in a little clusters on the bra, on the shoulder straps. I think it would really make it more elegant and sparkly. And yeah, it would just give it a nicer, it looks a little plain. So having those big chunky crystal stones on it would do the trick. And they're, you know, they're easy to sew on. They have holes in them. Yeah, and be sure to put a little dab of glue once you've sewn them on so that they don't come off, because they sometimes tend to break the threads when you're doing a lot of shimming or if you use the costume a lot. So the threads tend to break, and you don't want to lose those nice crystals. They can be pricey. So a little dab of E6000 in the back will keep that from happening.
All right. So that takes us to the end of our critique, but it is time to take some questions. So I'm going to turn off screen sharing.
Okay.
And we are going to switch to just audio. So let's see. Turn off my screen here. Okay. So if anybody has any questions, you can go ahead and press ** to unmute yourself. Or if you're listening on the webcast, you can type in the box at left. Excuse me, box at right. Any questions? You can ask if you are somebody who just got a critique, you can ask any follow-up questions. If you are not, you can ask anything you like about costuming. But I do see a question from Kate Thamina, who says, how do I keep my hip belt from sliding down without causing too much muffin top?
The hip belt from sliding down. I hope you're pinning them with these diaper pins. They're great. So you would pin your panties, your skirt, and your, if it's that type of bedla, the belt sitting on top, you would pin your panties, belt, and skirt all together. That keeps it from sliding up or down or sideways. And, yeah, so the belt has to, the belt really has to fit well on the hip. If there are gaps in the belt where you can stick your hand down there, it's not fitting correctly, and it will go up or down or slide all over the place. And doing that overcasting technique works on a belt too. So that usually happens like on the sides or the back, and so you don't have to do the whole belt. Sometimes you have to do that overcasting stitch all over the belt, but that, what that does is it just pulls it into your hips and makes it, you know, fit really well.
Mm-hmm. And what if somebody's got, you know, a firmer belt with a very big gap? Is there any way that they can kind of reseat how that's angled? Or
well, without seeing it, if it's, you know, sometimes you can, sometimes belts come in two pieces, which is really great. A lot of the Turkish belts are built that way. You can take the belt apart, and usually those kind of belts, they have to be centered. So you want to center the front and center the back after you've taken it apart and opened it, and just refit it. If you can't do that, if you're brave enough to make a slash somewhere near where the gap is, You make a cut, a big cut. If there are a lot of beads and stuff, I tend to glue them in the area where I'm going to make that cut so I don't lose too much beading. And then make that slash and then sew it back and kind of throw some beads on top of it or whatever. Or you can make a dart. If it's really thick and bulky, that's harder to do. But usually the overcasting technique works on even those thick, heavy belts. You just have to pull, use very heavy thread to pull it, because you're pulling this. And that often works.
All right. And, sometimes we see that gapping or muffin top situation with just the stretchy skirt ones that don't have a separate belt. Do you have any suggestions for that scenario?
I get a lot of those. I put an elastic in them in the back, and you want to get the non-roll type of elastic, because just a regular elastic will end up rolling up, and it won't do what it was intended to do. So you buy non-roll elastic, and this is kind of tricky to do. Have someone do it. And it's a herringbone stitch technique. It's like crosses, a series of X's that makes a casing for this elastic. And I do those all the time. They're really necessary on the belt skirts, because if there's nothing there, and the skirt has a lot of heavy beading, it's just going to keep pulling down. And so having this elastic, and have it as at least an inch thick, if not a little thicker. You could go to the inch and a half elastic, so that there's something for the, the skirt elastic to grab onto your hips. And, most seamstresses or people that are into dance, belly dance costumes know how to do that. And you can always send it to me. It's very inexpensive to do, but a very necessary thing to keep your skirt up and fitted. Mm-hmm. So the tension of the elastic has to be just right, too. If it's too tight, you get the muffin top. If it's too loose, it's gonna, it's not gonna do the job of keeping your skirt up.
All right. So we have a couple of follow-up questions from some of our critiques. So Aurelia and Laura are listening together, and they said that they wanted to let you know that we have cross back tops for our bra, and that they keep them really tight. So they wonder if you have any suggestions for the under boob situation that can happen when you make your shoulder straps shorter.
Oh, what crop top bras you say?
They said they have cross back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a funny little rattling noise going on. Yeah. Can you hear that?
Let me try again. One sec.
Okay.
How about now?
Okay, better.
All right. Maybe that my headphones are just a little bit loose. So what they're saying is, they keep their shoulder straps very tight for support, but they find that sometimes, they called it the underboob situation, and I think what they mean is that sometimes the wires tilt upward a little bit, and so sometimes, you start slipping out from underneath the bra when the straps are tight.
Oh, okay. So again, we go back to that center piece. If that's the problem, that center piece has to hold the underwires, the bra cups, in place. So that if the straps are pulling upward and that center piece isn't hugging under your breast, your wires are going to lift up and you're going to pop out underneath. So you have to kind of look at your bra, put that piece inside if you can. You could just make the matching, a matching color inside. It's about a strip, an inch, an inch deep, maybe 3-4 inches wide, and you have to sew that into the bottom of your strap in the center, the bottom of your cup, I mean, where the underwires are. And that'll usually take care of that coming out of your cup.
Mm-hmm. So besides keeping, the cups in their proper place against your chest, I've also found that when I have a costume bra that fits properly and has that straight across support underneath the cups, I find that I need my straps to take a lot less of the weight of my chest just because the rest of the bra is so much more supportive.
Exactly. Yeah, and then again, it's that line has to continue around your back straps too. If that line is drooping downward or not in the right place, it doesn't support you like it's supposed to. So you kind of have to lay your bra out and see if you have a straight line from the back straps going through the underwire, through the center where the bra meets, and across to the other side. That has to be a straight line. If it's not, then there's something, off that's not going to engineer the support of the bra properly.
Gotcha. All right. So we also have a follow-up question from Melissa, who was our first person who had the black and white and silver costume. And she asks, would adding undergarment elastic to the inside of the costume help prevent sliding?
Is this in reference to her photo costume?
That's right. So that was, remember she was the one who had the question about her skirt sliding down?
Yes. And the question again?
Would adding undergarment elastic, which I think is the rubberized stuff, would that help prevent sliding?
Sewing it to the back of the skirt, is that what she's saying?
Yeah, to the inside surface.
To the inside. It might, if it's that non-skid type, the rubbery kind that doesn't slip around, slide around. But I would. It's better to make a casing for that and slide the elastic through it, and then tie it off or make it the right tension so it doesn't go sliding off. It's really the tension of the elastic that's gonna keep the skirt up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Would anybody else like to ask a question?
If you're live on,
go ahead, Patty.
She could maybe also pin the skirt to her panties.
All right. So we are open for a couple more questions. If you're listening on the call, you can press ** to unmute yourself. If you're on Skype, you can press ** on the Skype keypad. Or if you're watching on the webcast and you'd rather type, you can type that in on the box on the right-hand side.
Okay.
There's always like a delay of a couple seconds before everybody hears this, so I never know exactly how long to wait. So let's give everybody another second.
All righty.
All right. I think we will call it a night. So I have a couple more questions for you, Shadia.
Okay.
So one thing is, if people learn one thing from this call, if 6 months later they remember one thing, what would you want that to be?
Most importantly is a proper fitting bra, and variety in your wardrobe, color wise and silhouette wise, your style, and that's about it.
All right. And if people want to learn more from you or have you help them with their costumes, whether it's revamping or making something from scratch, how can they do that?
They can email me. I'm on Facebook under Shadia Costume Design. I have a website if they want to check out some things I've made. It's Shadia Costume Design again. And my email is ShadiaBead, all one word, @gmail.com. And
all right.
Do you want me to give a phone number out?
If you would like to, you're certainly welcome to.
Sure. I have my business phone is 781-461-0512.
All right. Now, I am lucky enough to be, you know, a 45-minute subway ride from your house. But, you know, for folks who are not in the Boston area, how can they work with you?
I work with dancers all over the country and other countries. And, you know, we just send things back and forth. And, yeah, you know, usually it's when I have to create a costume from scratch that it's more involved. I need measurements and, you know, and even fittings. I send costumes back and forth to do fittings. So it can be done. So if it's an easy revamp or a putting the elastic in the back of your skirt, that's an easy fix.
All right. And, you know, of course, if you want to visit the Boston area, that is a great excuse to go have some costuming done. And when you're there, take some private lessons with Shadia. She is absolutely a master of Egyptian and Lebanese Oriental as well as folkloric styles. And I have taken many, many privates with her. And just I always get so much out of it every time. So you can get some great dance instruction and look great in your costuming as well.
And also and you can come enjoy some of our nightlife. Boston has fabulous Middle Eastern bands and venues.
Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. So thank you so much, Shadia.
Well, thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Me too. And thanks, everybody, for coming. Before you let go, let me let you know a little bit about what else is going on in the belly dance geek world. So this Friday, which is November 20th, I think, Rosa Maureen Aliyah-Thabit and I are co-hosting the Compassionate Critique Salon. So that's going to be an online event like this one. And we are going to be doing critiques on dance videos by 10 dancers. We've already sold out all of the critique spots, but if you want to join us to watch and learn from everybody else's critiques, we would love to have you. So this is all happening online. You can do it from anywhere in the world, and it's going to be recorded. So if you've got a show or other plans on Friday, you can still learn that after the fact. So if you want to check that out, you can go to bellydancegeek.com/compassionate-critique-salon. And this is the end of our call, but that doesn't mean that the conversation has to end. We've got a private Facebook group just for Clubhouse members, so I'll send out an email shortly, which will have a link to invite you in there. Now, there is an approval delay. So this is a private group, meaning that you can't see anything unless you're a member. And so I do need to approve each of you individually just to make sure that we limit this to dancers. So if you can't post right away, don't worry. And that email will also include a link to our Clubhouse survey. So this is something that I run, but I really want it to be for everybody. So if you have any, you know, topics that you'd like me to cover or speakers that you'd like me to invite, or anything else that I can do to improve the Clubhouse, I would love to hear it. I'll also include a link to the call recording and to our slides, so if you want to listen to this again or take a closer look at some of the images, you can do that, as well as contact information for Shadia so you can check out her work. Our December call is still to be scheduled. I'm super excited about this subject, but I'm not going to tell you just yet. So keep an eye on your inbox. And until next time, just remember that this is the come on in kind of Clubhouse, not the no boys allowed kind. So if you know anybody who would like to join us, you can have them get an invitation at bellydancegeek.com/clubhouse. And until December, happy dancing. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. For more geektacular resources, check out bellydancegeek.com.